Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
All right, ask Dr. Mike. I love this part because it challenges me. These questions kind of keep me on my toes a little bit. So please send in your questions. Who knows, you might have it read on the air. Here's the first question for today. I had a stent put in, and I'm assuming that's a stent to open up the coronary artery. Should I take fish and krill oil? Now, before I answer this question, I'll get to it, but before I do, I want to mention something about the stents. If anybody listening has ever had a stent put in, or maybe bypass surgery, really any sort of cardiovascular procedure that was done to the arteries in your heart, there is a blood test you should have before you even worry about fish and krill. You should have something called phospholipase A2 tested. Phospholipase A2. It's known in the industry as PLAC, P-L-A-C. It's a test that will tell us how well that stent or bypass graft is doing. The higher this enzyme, phospholipase A2, in your blood, that might make me a little bit worried. Anything over 200 may mean that there's some blockage going on in that stent or in that graft, and you may have to have another angiogram just to make sure everything's okay. So I think anybody who's had a stent or a bypass surgery needs to have a baseline phospholipase A2 tested. We want it less than 200, and you should check it at least once a year. And when it creeps up, get another angiogram. Let's make sure that stent is okay. Now, there you go. With that said, let me answer the question now. Should I take fish oil and krill? Yes. That was pretty simple, right? Okay, so, general health, I think all of us should be taking omega-3s. I used to be a big stickler about fish oil. That is the best source. I still stand by that, but, I'm not going to get into arguments anymore with people. Flax, krill, whatever. Get your omega-3s. General health, get the omega-3s at least 2 grams a day, okay? If you have let's say, at risk for heart disease, maybe moderate risk, high risk based on some lab work, family history, whatever it is, I would probably bump that up to at least 4 grams of omega-3 oils from fish. If you've had a diagnosis of heart disease, that's when or a stent put in, or a bypass surgery, that's when I would add the combination of fish and krill together. I do like the combination. The fish oil is going to give you a more broad systemic effect, lower inflammation. The krill is good because it attaches to red blood cells, so it can get into some of the tinier spaces in your body, like joints. And it also, krill has a nice effect for bringing triglycerides down, maybe even more so than the omega-3 oils from fish. So I always start with fish for general health, about 2 grams a day. If you're at risk for heart, I might go up to 4 grams a day. If you definitely have been diagnosed with a heart issue, I would add the krill. Pretty safe. And having a stent, to me, is being diagnosed with something. So, yes, take fish and krill. By the way, there are companies putting them together. So you can find omega-3 products with fish and krill in one soft gel now. So that makes it easier. All right. Question number 2. Can statin medications cause dementia? I think this is an appropriate question, since we just had Dr. Sinatra on talking about all that. Let me just give you some of the background in all this with statins in cholesterol and dementia. Okay. Out of the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, they discovered that there's this cholesterol metabolite that seems to be high in Alzheimer's patients. So they had this idea that, well, maybe if we can prove that statins cross the blood-brain barrier and bring down this specific brain cholesterol metabolite, maybe we could reduce some of the severity and symptoms of Alzheimer's dementia. And this was specific to Alzheimer's, not just, say, age-related dementia. So they started testing statins. What they found is that the statin medications actually do cross the blood-brain barrier. The statin medications actually do decrease this cholesterol metabolite. But the problem was this. People's symptoms got worse. So the idea was good. Okay, we have this high cholesterol metabolite in the brain of Alzheimer's patients. Maybe that's causing some problems. Let's bring it down, and that should help. Well, they got the statins in. They got the patients on the statins. The statins got into the brain. They decreased this cholesterol metabolite, and you would think, okay, things should get better, right? There should be an improvement on, you know, cognition scores and stuff. Where there wasn't, there was a drop. That's because cholesterol is so important to the brain. As Dr. Sinatra just talked about, we need cholesterol. It's protective, it's important for cell membranes, it's important in the brain cell environment. And what we have discovered now, that if you lower cholesterol too much, specifically in the brain, yeah, it does seem to be associated with some worsening Alzheimer dementia scores and just, you know, memory test in general. So it's not conclusive, right? I'm not saying that it's conclusive, but it is something to watch. Dr. Sinatra, who was just on, mentioned that anybody over the age of 75, he does not put on a statin for that very reason. So, in my opinion, yeah, I think you should. I think there is a connection here. I think statins do get into the brain. I do think they drop cholesterol, specifically this metabolite, and that is associated with some symptoms. So, yeah, let's just follow Dr. Sinatra. You know, over 70, over 75, you probably want to avoid the statin medications. All right, question number three. Oh, this is a good one. Is it safe to take melatonin every day? Well, that yeah, it is. Wait, let me back up. Everything I do in medicine, and any doctor will tell you this, naturopathic doctor, medical doctor, chiropractor, doesn't matter. We balance benefit risk all day long, whether it's a drug, a treatment, you know, lifestyle, whatever it is. It's all a benefit risk balance analysis, if you will. And here's the thing. If you need to take melatonin every night to get a good night's sleep, a restorative night's sleep, then you have to do that, because the benefit of sleeping every night outweighs any risk that you might have from taking melatonin every day. I bet you I know what this person is concerned with. That, okay, well, if I take a hormone every day, my body's going to stop making it. Right, and that's what everybody's worried about. That if I take any hormone, my body's going to stop making it. Well, guess what? If you're not sleeping, if you have insomnia, you probably already aren't making a lot of melatonin. So taking it every day is really not the is fine, because you're just boosting your melatonin levels up at night, and that's going to help you sleep. So you probably already aren't making it. But remember, sleep trumps everything. You have to get a good night's sleep. Now, if you want to break it up, I've done this before with some life extension members, even a friend of mine. I did this with. You know, you do melatonin Monday through Friday. And then on the weekend, you can, you know, switch to something else. There's a nice green tea theanine, which is an amino acid in green tea, lemon balm combination that helps some people. You can even do magnesium. Magnesium citrate will help people sleep. So maybe you can do that on the weekend. So maybe what you do is you just alternate a little bit. Maybe that'll help you, you know, feel a little bit better about this. But in my opinion, if you need that restorative sleep, if you stop melatonin and you don't sleep, that's worse than taking melatonin every day. Question number four. And I just read this one. This is going to be a tough one to answer. Well, it's going to be easy for me to answer, but I know where this person's going. Okay, will you be getting a flu vaccine? And I'm assuming they're asking me that. Will you be getting a flu vaccine? Okay. Where do I go with this one? Vaccine science is really cool stuff. You know, it's very simple. Your body is your immune system is based upon a prime. That prime could be the bacteria, virus it gets in. You have a small reaction. You develop some antibodies, and now you're protected. Well, that's vaccine science in a nutshell, right? The problem is they don't always work. There's some chemicals that you may not want in your system. Here's what I do. I'm not going to get a flu vaccine, but if you have any chronic disease and you're over 65, yeah, you probably want to get it.